Times are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join Pastor Bob Gretzka as he encourages and reminds us of the unchanging truths found in God's Word and makes this time available to answer any questions and pray with you during this live broadcast. If you have a question or a prayer request, call in at 978-353-0849. Again, that's 978-353-0849. Now let's join Pastor Bob Gretzka.
Oh, good evening. This is Bob Gretzka coming to you from Fitchburg, Massachusetts, here at Horizon Christian Fellowship. And we've been doing this for a while now, I guess about a month, where we've been just kind of setting aside a little bit of time on each weekday night from 6 to 7 p.m., just trying to encourage and reach out to people, help them to really just get a better focus, I guess. We've got a lot changing in our world day by day. We know every morning we wake up, something different's going to be happening. And, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty with it. Kids are home from school. A lot of people are not working or working from home if possible. And, you know, it just brings a lot of a little bit of anxiety and a lot of doubts. And we're just not quite sure what's next and where this is all going. We can turn on the news for a while and see some of the things that are happening in our own cities and around us throughout the country and then even throughout the world and how things are just changing rapidly. And as one country after the next goes into some type of a lockdown, and now our president's talking about opening things up. And again, even that makes people a bit nervous into as far as what's next, you know, what's going to happen with that and how are we going to handle that? How does that go well? How do people keep safe? So there's just a lot of things for us to consider, but the truth is we know where we find our hope and our strength, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can open his word again and again, and he'll speak to us, he'll direct our thoughts, renew our minds. And so that's just what we want to do tonight as we open his word again a little bit, and again, just to kind of encourage one another what the Lord wants to do with and through each of us. Again, he's given each of us a gift, which is amazing, as his kids. And so what do we do with that gift? Truly, it is to edify the body and to worship and to praise him with that gift he's given us and to use it to his glory. So we're going to be here for this hour until from 6 to 7 p.m. And if you would like to call in, again, tonight I've got somebody on the line, a guest with us. So if you're going to call in, it's going to be the other number, which would be 888-310-7729 or 888-310-PRAY. And again, somebody take a message and we can read that over the air. It won't be live. We'll just take the message and read it and go through that. So again, just wanted to open up the line a little bit for that. And at the same time, we're going to be just kind of focusing on God's word and what's happening in our society around us. Again, just coming from Fitchburg, Massachusetts. And I have a guest with me. His name is Paul Richard. And Paul is one of the elders here at Horizon and known Paul for quite a while. And you know, he's got a few different ministries that he's certainly involved with. One is certainly the radio, another the prison ministry here at Horizon and reaching out to other areas. And so, Paul, welcome. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, Bob. Pastor Bob, thank you for having me tonight on Renew FM Radio. I'm truly blessed by being on and speaking to everyone over the airwaves tonight, you know, and since I retired back in 2014, I've been serving down at Horizon. And when I retired, I told Pastor George, whatever you need me to do. And first I went to the church. He said, how about radio? And I said, I know how to turn it on. That's about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been blessed in doing some of the underwriting and working with the radio staff down there. It's been a blessing. And yeah, you know, this radio ministry, I wish we had time to share all the testimonies we get in. I know they do get shared once in a while. But, you know, we have this awesome ministry that we're using during this pandemic. And, you know, it's such a marvelous thing the way God has just blessed us with this ministry. And I'm just so proud to be a part of it. And, you know, I enjoy going down there and just serving with everybody else down at Horizon.
Well, it's definitely great having you with us, that's for sure. Paul, you do a great job reaching out in different ways, organizing things, a lot of energy. I didn't realize it's been 6 years since you retired. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I can't even believe it. God is good.
He is. Amen. Amen, for sure. And so now with all these different things happening, we've got a lot of things shut down, obviously even the church itself, that we can't hold worship services here within the building. But we've opened it up to a lot of different things. It's actually tested us a little bit, where obviously one of the great tools that we have is this radio network that reaches out across New England. And that's just an awesome thing for sure, from downtown Boston through Pittsfield down to Rhode Island and up to New Hampshire and, you know, throughout Massachusetts. And it's just really an awesome thing covering the Cape and all that. So it's really cool that we have that, and it's very useful, and it's been a lot of hard work for sure for a lot of people, but at the same time, incredibly fruitful also at the same time. And so, but with this, we've also been trying a few other things, different types of online meetings and Facebook and everything else, having our services out in the parking lot so everybody sits in their cars with the windows closed and listening in on the radio, and at the same time doing a Facebook Live service. It's been interesting, a lot of fun, different way of doing it, but I'm sure looking forward to the day we can actually all meet together again face-to-face and give one another a hug for sure. But I think that might be still a little bit of time. So in the meantime, you know, we just want to truly encourage and speak the word of truth into people's lives and help them to keep focused, because, you know, it's been a few weeks, and at this point, people might be getting a little frustrated, a little nervous about finances, what's happening with their kids' schooling, how they're going to pay their next mortgage, you know, all these different things coming up. And so, I mean, you know, one of the big things I consider a lot is just, you know, what does God want to do with this and through this, and how does he want to use us? Certainly, we need to follow what the authorities have put in place. You know, we're not going out a lot and doing much stuff anymore, for sure. But we can certainly get refocused and use the tools that we do have, like radio. And one of the things for me, for sure, is, you know, just digging into his word in different places. One of the scriptures that kind of stood out to me today, just looking around through his word, was Psalm 27, verse 1, where it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You know, it just speaks to me so much, where he just gives us an incredible comfort, peace, strength, and hope as we keep our eyes focused on him, knowing that he is still sovereign. He's still in control of all things. You know, we certainly have a government, and we have police and firemen and first responders and all these other things going on, and thank God for those people that he's put in place. But the truth is, he's still sovereign and on his throne. He's the one who's in control of it all, and he's the one who dictates what's happening. And sometimes I kind of wonder, again, what is this? You know, what are you trying to do right now, Lord? You know, how do you want to use us, and what is it that you're trying to do through us during this time and within our own lives? So, to me, truthfully, I think a big thing is really just searching my heart, figuring out, you know, is there something that needs to go in my life, needs to change? Is there something that I need to repent from, something new I need to be doing that I'm not? Am I being slothful? Or am I wasting time? Or am I using it well to his glory? So that's definitely a challenge for me. Started reading a new book just a week or two ago. I opened it up, and I kind of hadn't had much time lately, but I opened it again quickly last night, again from A.W. Tozer, a book titled God's Pursuit of Man. And it was pretty challenging. I mean, A.W. Tozer, first of all, his writing, because it is quite a while ago, is a little bit more in-depth to be reading, first off, with some of the words he uses. But a big challenge as to who we are, you know, understanding what God wants to do with us and how he challenges us in many ways. You know, what is it really to be a believer in Jesus Christ, to follow after him, to be a son of God or a daughter of God, and what does that do in our lives, and how does that change things? So quite challenging, but very encouraging at the same time. So I'm going to just go back to you, Paul, for a moment, if you have anything to add in.
You know, Bob, as you were saying, I think for all of us today, you know, where we're laid up in our homes and everything. And I think it's very easy to get involved with too much what's going on in the world with TV and everything. I mean, it's just so consuming. And, you know, just thank the Lord that, you know, my wife and I, at least every day, if not twice a day, get involved in studies, and we're watching panels that have teachings on it, and not getting involved in what's going on around us. Because I know for me personally that, you know, I have joy in my heart. I have this relationship with the Lord, and I have joy in my heart. And as you mentioned, Bob, I think we all know as believers who's in control. So, you know, I let God handle what's going on, Lord, what's going on, Bob. And I just, I just know that, you know, at the end of this, something good's going to happen. And I know George keeps mentioning when this is all said and done and we meet again as a church, you know, hopefully that, you know, people are going to, their walk with the Lord are going to be even more encouraged, walking with him more and more every day. You know, I like this scripture a lot, and I think this pertains to everybody. I know it's been said a lot, but I've come to, you know, I've read Matthew since, you know, over the 15, 16 years that I've been a believer a few times. But, you know, sometimes you read something for the 40th time and it finally hits you. And I think every person out there has some trial going on in their life, whether it's through this pandemic or after or even before. But Matthew 11:28, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, for me, as been walking with the Lord for a lot of years, and, you know, I take comfort that when trials come my way, you know, I can surrender them to God. Let him handle it. Let him take it over. And he will give you rest. I know he has for me. And I know in my walk, I know at least four or five instances, even before I didn't know the Lord, where he's intervened in my life and made decisions for me that sort of put, you know, what I do today. He had a plan for my life. I didn't know it back then, but I know today that he intervened in my life many times because he knew that someday I would be a servant, you know, in doing doing all these things that I do for the kingdom. So,
amen, Paul. Yeah, I agree, definitely. I know I've had some of those situations in my life for sure as well. There are times before I was a believer, you know, I know that he was with me. He walked with me. He showed me things. There were many times there were just no question in my mind that God was there. He opened a door, an opportunity, and he worked in that. And I think that you can look back at that now and just be like amazed that, you know, why would he do that for me? Why would he be so patient and so kind to me, you know, to give me such a great gift when I didn't even really know who he was that much? In my own mind, I think I thought I did, but it took a while before I actually realized that I actually didn't have that relationship with him. I had grown up Catholic, and I knew some of the scriptures. I certainly knew a little bit about the gospel. I understood that, you know, Jesus died for the sin of the world, but I didn't realize it was such a personal thing. You know, I didn't realize I'd have to receive him as my personal savior and submit my life to him and follow after him. And boy, when I did that, that just changed everything. What an incredible difference. It's interesting you bring up Matthew, because I was looking actually earlier in Matthew in chapter 7, where he just says to ask, to seek, and to knock. You know, he says that you'll find when you seek. When you ask, you'll receive. When you knock, the door will be open to you. You know, it's just amazing how God desires to have a real relationship with us. He desires to be near to us, that we can hear his voice and do his will. And yet so many times we ignore that or get too busy about the stuff of the world, and that can just distract us so quickly. And, you know, a time like this, boy, it seems, you know, he's kind of removed a lot of that stuff from our lives, you know, not the busyness anymore for a lot of people, where, you know, you can only watch so much news. The sports are gone. You know, people aren't traveling so much to work and all that. Maybe quite a few still working on, you know, online or from home. But it seems we've got maybe a little bit more time on our hands, or a little less distraction, at least, you know, with everything else going on in our lives. So it's just a great time to truly seek his face and spend a little time listening to him. And in doing that, I think it does help us to just kind of search our hearts and see, you know, again, is there anything there that I need to remove or just surrender to him or let him work through? I guess a great verse for that might be like Psalm 46, verse 1, where he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And continues on, therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. You know, no matter what's going on in our life, and it's interesting because that little section ends with the word Selah. And it just means to meditate, to consider that. You know, take a moment and consider, you know, God is my strength and my refuge. He's always there. He's that present help in trouble. Whenever there's, you know, things that disrupt my life, so much so that it feels like things, everything's turbulent and moving around and unstable and unsure, that he's there and he watches over, he's protecting, he's providing. He's my strength, my refuge, my help. And that just brings such help, such hope, and such, you know, an amazing peace during a time when it's really hard to find peace, I guess. But he's there. And when we turn our hearts and eyes towards him, it just lets everything else kind of fade and have so much less impact on our lives that we can see what really matters. I know for me, one of the big things is I always try to remember all these things that I can see and touch and feel are the things that are going to go away one day. And the things that I can't see or touch or feel are the things that are going to last forever. And it just gives such a different perspective to realize what's truly important. You know, those relationships that you have with others, our relationship with the Lord, you know, our faith, it's really everything, you know. It just changes perspective. Instead of, you know, he talks about the idea of having idols, and, you know, it's easy for us to do that in America. Work hard, get a lot of money, and, you know, buy the big house or the sports car or take that ultimate vacation or whatever it may be. And again, he's kind of put a hold on all of that stuff to get us, I think, refocused, to really count the cost and understand what's truly important to us, you know, what's important to him, you know, and refocus us to him truly being the Lord of all things. It's interesting because in that chapter, it goes down and even talks a little bit about giving gifts and a father giving a good gift to his son. And, you know, that's what we want to do to our kids is give, bless them. And yet, if we know how to give decent gifts to our kids, how is God in that? You know, his love for us as his kids is incredibly so beyond that, that he gives us incredible gifts. And yet sometimes we can miss that to realize, we don't realize how good of a gift it is to just have that incredible relationship, the gift of the Holy Spirit within us, that discernment, that hope, that strength. It's incredible. And time like this is when we start realizing, boy, that is incredibly important to have that. So, Paul, I guess I just want to go back to you for a moment.
You know, I think back to when I first gave my heart to Jesus. And, you know, I know even a lot of people today, sometimes when they surrender their heart to Jesus, they become born again, they choose to make that decision to follow Jesus. It's not saying that, all right, God, now you're going to handle it. You're going to do it all for me, because it doesn't work that way. It's a battle every day, even when you walk with the Lord every day. I mean, there are trials that are going to still keep coming. But as I read in Matthew, you know, just give them to the Lord. And when I first started walking with the Lord, I didn't have a lightning strike or anything. It was all baby steps for me in my growth and my walk and everything. But my nephew started talking to me about eternity, because, you know, everybody is born and everybody's going to die. There's no getting around that. And we're all going to stand before the Lord and be judged. And he talked to me a lot about eternity. And I looked eternity up in the dictionary, and it you know, I know there's probably different versions, but this, when I looked it up today, it says infinite time, duration without beginning or end. So, you know, it's like forever, you know, and, you know, God gives us free will to make a choice. You can either make the choice now to follow him, to know him, to serve him, and you'll spend eternity, no beginning, no end. You'll spend eternity with him. And if you continue to not know Jesus and have that relationship with him, and, you know, being a Christian, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And I know for myself and even for my wife and a lot of people, we have relationships with Jesus. We can go to him, pray to him, talk to him, and he will answer. It may not be right away, but he will answer. And what I like, he's always looking out for me, you know, and I really, really need that. So, you know, I know eternity, again, when I die, where I go, and it's, you know, I don't want the day to come, but I can't wait for the day to come. And I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven.
Amen. Amen. That is such an awesome thing to consider, right? Imagine what it's going to be like that day when we stand before his throne and be able to look directly into his face. Wow, that'll be an incredible time for sure. You know, it's walking in that for sure. And we can do that now is the big thing, is we have that option to serve him now, to love him now, to know him now. It's incredible that he would do that and give us that opportunity. He tells us once we've done that, you know, to stand fast in it. I was just looking at Galatians chapter 5, where he says, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, that's just an incredible thing to think of, you know. Why would we want to be in bondage to anything? And the truth is, you know, and until we find that freedom in Christ, we are bound to so much stuff, our own ideas and thoughts and the ways of the world and others' thoughts of us and how they feel about us and the way they look at us, or, you know, what type of car I drive or where I live or all these different things. And we get so concerned in it. And yet when we give our life over to Christ and receive an eternity, a life forever with him, boy, does that change everything. It certainly changes the view. Later in that same chapter, he goes on to say, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not walk, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he goes on to describe the lust of the flesh and what that looks like, you know, how it wars against the Spirit. And he says, the Spirit against the flesh. And it gives a list of things that are contrary, you know, between the flesh and the Spirit. And it gives, you know, a whole list of things that, when you really think about it, when you read through this the first time, it's like, whoa, that was never me. But then you have to look back a little closer to it and realize, wow, that absolutely was me, because it goes through all these different things: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, you know, a whole long list of things, drunkenness, revelries, and all that stuff, you know, a whole long list here. And he says that, you know, all that stuff has nothing to do with the kingdom of God on what's ahead for us. But it's amazing what comes next. As he says, Tosh talking about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow, what a list of things, you know, for us to consider. That's who we are when we walk in Christ and when we receive the Holy Spirit. These are the gifts and the fruit that come from having the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? You know, what is the fruit? How does fruit actually come? Again, you know, the works of the flesh, whoa, it just seems really overwhelming and horrible. But if you look around, that stuff is all around us like crazy. And it seems that, you know, during this time again, some of that stuff is kind of shut off. The bars aren't open. You know, you can't go to all these other different events and things to keep us busy, the things that get our mind into places that they really shouldn't go. And the fruit of the Spirit is just so, so different. But the fruit of the Spirit is not something we produce ourselves. It automatically gets produced when the Holy Spirit is living within us. That's amazing. John 15:5 says that I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So what does it take to bear that fruit that we just read? You know, the love. Love is a great place to begin, for sure, because all the other stuff comes from that. If you love someone, or if you have love in your heart, then you're going to have this joy, an amazing peace. You're willing to have long-suffering towards someone that you love. It overlooks sin, and it clears that up. It makes us be kind to others. There's goodness and faithfulness in that. There's gentleness. There's self-control when I love somebody. And it just automatically comes when I abide in Christ. He who abides in me, he tells us. And what does that look like? You know, just to live our life out with him, following after him. What an incredible thing to even consider. It changes everything about us, the desires of our heart, the way we live, the things we do, the, you know, how we spend our time, our efforts, our money. All of that completely changes because what we desire changes. So he transforms us as we spend time with him. And we produce this fruit just automatically. He produces it through us. But it's only when we're attached to him, when we're abiding with him, when we're spending time with him, that it just transforms us. And, you know, I think back to, you know, maybe being a young guy when, you know, you start hanging out with friends and how they have an influence on your life. You know, the people you hang out with, you start talking like them, acting like them. I remember when I was in the Army and I started acting like a lot of the guys I hung around with, and it wasn't so great. Bad choice of friends maybe then. But in the same way, when we hang out with Christ and other believers, it transforms us and we start acting like him more, you know, and Christ was an incredible example for every one of us. So it's just an amazing thing. We've got just a couple minutes before we go to a break. Paul, do you have anything you wanted to add there before we go into the break?
Yeah, I was reading in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, you know, and he shall give you the desires of your heart, you know, Bob. And like you were talking about, before I knew the Lord, and, you know, I was in the car business for 40 years, and I worked for a couple of big dealer groups. And back then, it was all about chasing it, you know, chasing the dream, you know, the money, the cars, the house, the whole nine yards. And, you know, as I started my walk with the Lord, it's what you said earlier, this is all going to burn. It's all temporary. And as when you think about that, you know, even people that have everything today, when you die, they put you in the ground and it doesn't go with you. So, you know, back then I made that decision. That's part of why I made that decision, you know, to start walking with Jesus, knowing who Jesus is, what my purpose in life was. And, you know, he'll give you your needs. He knows your needs. He won't give you anything above your needs, but he knows what every person needs today.
Amen. Yeah, he certainly does. He knows our needs. He knows our desires. And yet sometimes those are different. You know, most of us, I guess sometimes we have that issue of understanding the difference between wants and needs, kind of like a little kid, you know. And when we come into this relationship, he definitely changes that perspective for us and helps us to truly understand what our needs really are and the difference in those wants. And he does. He meets every one of our needs for sure, and often so far beyond it, so much more. So many times we'd ask him for something and we don't receive what we ask for. And, you know, most of the time, almost every single time, I found the reason I'm not receiving it is because he has always something so much better for me. I just need to wait, you know, take that little bit of time and wait on him. And I know waiting sometimes can be really difficult. A lot of us are finding that right now, waiting for the freedom to go out and do the things we want to do in the world. And yet there's a lot of value in this time alone, seeking God's face. Truly evaluating what is meaningful to us and what is going to hold my life. What am I going to do from this point forward? You know, what's going to happen when this all changes and opens up? What am I going to do with that time now? You know, that's what, I guess, one of the things we really should be thinking about. And we'll take a look at that as soon as we get back after the break. Thank you. Hello, this is Bob Greska, and we're back with you for the remainder of the hour until 7 p.m. I'm here again with Paul Richard, and we're just trying to encourage people and reset our view, I guess, a little bit with all the stuff that's going on, kind of shaking our world a bit, shaking our thoughts and what we, I guess, value in our lives, making us reevaluate a bit. And sometimes it's good to do that, to just kind of step back and think, well, what's really important? Where am I headed, and what matters most to me at this point? You know, where do I want to be in 5, 10 years from now, or what is it that I want people to remember or know about me, and what is it that's most valuable to me? That does definitely help us to reevaluate during times like this, for sure. You know, we're never really truly promised tomorrow, not one of us. The Bible makes that clear. So we want to use our time wisely. So it's a good thing to step back and do that every so often. So I'm here with Paul Richard, one of the elders here at Horizon Christian Fellowship. He's involved with a lot of different ministries. One of the ones, actually, that Paul's involved with that has been an amazing thing. I've actually been able to step in and come alongside on, I think, two or three different occasions in the ministry. And it was actually with the prison ministry. And that was quite an amazing thing. Great group of brothers to be able to go in and sit through a service there is incredible. Paul, did you want to share a little bit about that ministry?
Yeah, Bob, thank you, man. That ministry is so dear to my heart, along with other people that serve in that ministry, Mike Spinney and Jerry Penault, Ray Ann, and Paul D'Alessandro. We've been doing prison ministry since 2008, so it's going on about 13 years at the church at MCI Shirley. And, you know, if you would have asked me, years ago, when I didn't know the Lord, that someday I'd be in the prison doing Bible studies and worship music, I'd say, you got rocks in your head, because it's never going to happen. But when God gets a hold of you, you know, all bets are off. But it's just been a blessing for us. I know even now with the pandemic going on, I know that all the volunteer programs and all the facilities are not happening, and I know even the visitation rights by family members is off right now, too, also, I believe. And this can be a tough time, not only for the people who run the prisons, the correctional officers, because sometimes when there's nothing to do, that's when the unrest happens. So I just want to let my brothers know, if they're listening on the radio, and by the way, our single, 91.7 in Lunenburg, is being carried into that prison. I have numerous times gone in there where some of the brothers have come up to me and said, you tell Pastor George he's doing a great job in Romans or whatever he was teaching on. So that signal, that Renew FM signal, God's word is going in that prison. There's 1,500 men in that facility, and 90% of them don't know the Lord. But there's a church in there that has... that's a church. We don't call it a prison. It's a church. And there are many men in there who walk with the Lord. There are men in there who could teach church on a Sunday very easily. They know the Bible that well. So if any men are listening tonight, you know, I just want you to know you're not forgotten. And I'd like to just say a prayer, Bob, just for a minute. I want to pray for the correctional officers, for their protection, all the staff, the people who run the prison. And I do want to pray for the inmates, and I do want to pray for the church. So I'm just going to say a little prayer, okay?
Absolutely.
Father God, Father, as you've given us all these years, Lord, that we've gone into Shirley. You've blessed us tremendously. George has been in there. Bob's been in there handing out these little Christmas packages at Christmas time, Lord. Chaplain Tom and Shriver, Lord, bless them, Lord. But I pray, God, that you will protect the facility, the Lord, protect the correctional officers that no unrest would happen, Lord. The staffing, the people who run it, Lord. And I do pray for my brothers, Lord, that they would be vessels, even during this time, Lord, where nobody's coming in to see them, Lord. They would be vessels just to share the gospel, Lord. I know there are brothers in there who love you and who love to serve, Lord. I pray for their protection. Open up their eyes, give them strength they've never felt before, Lord, to share your word, to share your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, boss.
Yeah, amen. That's a great ministry for sure. Yeah, I've been in there, I think, twice for the conferences you have in there annually. And yeah, absolutely. It's probably one of the best men's conferences I've been to, actually, listening to the different teaching and meeting some of the other guys and the worship time and all that. A great group of brothers there for sure. You know, circumstances definitely can change our situations, and yet God reaches us for sure. He is definitely in control of all things, always sovereign, whether we like the situation or not. But, you know, he uses things for his glory. And I just, with that, I think I look at Psalm 99, the beginning part of it here, and it just says, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. It's interesting. Both those sections end with a simple thing that says he is holy. And he is. You know, we have an amazing God who is set apart and different than all other creation. You know, he alone is not created. And he's perfect in all of his ways. He sits on his throne. He rules the world. All of that creation. I mean, you go to the beginning and it's pretty simple to see. God's created all things. He spoke it into existence. You know, all things that exist. There's not one thing that exists that he did not create. And he is sovereign. He sits on his throne. And one day, all this stuff will be made right. You know, sin entered the world through men, and every one of us falls short of the glory of God for sure, no matter where we sit or what our circumstances today. And we just heard a little commercial about that a moment ago, right? That, you know, we all fall short for sure. You know, we think we may have had a perfect day. One day we could pick out that I didn't sin, and yet we had a lustful thought. We used the Lord's name in vain. We did something against him. You know, we lied somewhere. We could never come up with even a single day of our whole lives, no matter how long we've lived, that there's even one day that we lived perfectly. Our thoughts have gone the wrong direction, our words wrong, our actions wrong. And yet we have an incredibly long-suffering, merciful Father who just desires a relationship with us to renew us and make us whole. And that's the thing he does. He makes all things new. And when we fear, we just need to put our trust in him. When we sin, we need to come back and repent and just make it right again. Allow him to wash over us and make us clean. And that's an incredible thing that we can do so simply. It's hard to believe sometimes because it is such a simple thing, that incredible gift that he's given us of life through his son, Jesus Christ. And wow, what a great gift that is. Incredible to consider, you know. And most of us can think, you know, oh, but I'm not good enough, you know, whatever. But it has so nothing really to do with us. It's all about him and what he's done for us. It's simply receiving that gift and admitting we are sinners and receive life through what Christ has done, that propitiation. And again, that's very much what we just celebrated this past week, right? With Good Friday and then Easter Sunday, the death of Christ on the cross, paying the price for our sin. And then Sunday, the resurrection. A glorious resurrection, proving that what he did for us was accepted by God the Father. And he brought him back to life, showing what an incredible gift that is, giving us such hope. What a beautiful thing that is. So, again, available for every one of us. So, Paul, yeah, I agree. That ministry is great. This incredible ministry is this being able to just sit here on the radio and speak to you as well, just about what God has done in our lives and how he uses so many different people in different ways. Who would have thought, you know, here would be being able to do this. Incredible.
Incredible. Amen. You know, I have some scripture here I would just like to read, and I'm praying that maybe somebody's on the radio tonight listening that doesn't know the Lord, just like I did when I first started reading the Bible. But my wife and her sisters were doing Bible studies for years, and, you know, I had no interest in it at all. I didn't encourage her to go, but I didn't stop her from going at all. And one day I got in her sister's car, and she asked me, she says, Paul, what's your chances? What do you think? You think you're going to be going to heaven? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm a pretty good guy. I get involved with things and, you know, I help people and all this other stuff. So, yeah, I got a pretty good shot of going. And he kind of laughed a little bit and kind of said, you know, it's all about a relationship. And it didn't make much sense to me. But, you know, I decided one day to go to a service down at Horizon. And I think, Bob, you were going to church there back then, but it was on the first floor. And I remember walking in there, and Mike Jacob, who was on last week, great brother of mine, and was there. And I went in there, and Pete Sonoya was leading worship with a ponytail, and some of the other guys were up there and everything. And so I went in and sat down, and music started, get up, sat down, and went through the whole worship thing and everything, and then George came in the room, and he's a young guy, and I just said, man, he's a young dude. He doesn't look old enough to be a pastor or a teacher, but anyways, you know, people were asking me when I left how, you know, nobody pressured me, and I just said, yeah, it was okay, and, you know, then I decided to start going to church there. I wanted to go to church with my wife, and I started to go there. And I can remember all kinds of people giving me advice, read this, read that, boom, boom, boom. And my wife gave me a Bible, and there were words in red. And I asked her, I said, well, what do those words in red mean? She said, well, that's Jesus talking. And I said, well, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I want to make sure I read his words. So I started reading the book of John. And even the first time I read chapter 14, it hit me right between the eyes, and I just want to read the first six verses. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That verse is such a popular verse. I know even at the Life Fresh Shirts at Horizon, when we did Life Fest, that scripture is on those goods. And that verse, for a lot of people, including myself, is the most crucial, most important verse in the Bible for me, because Jesus is telling you he's the only way. He's the only way to get to heaven. And as I mentioned before, eternity, that's going to be a long, long time. If you want to go to heaven, you have to know Jesus, because that's the only way you're going to get there. And again, when you start reading the Bible, you give your heart to Christ. Like Pastor Steve said this last night, Steve Mayo said, if you have Jesus in your heart and you truly follow him, you will have joy beyond belief. You will put so much joy in your heart. So I just encourage people out there who don't know the Bible, who are at maybe a crossroads of trying to figure what's going on in the world today and, you know, what choices do I have? We do have a choice. There are answers out there. And Jesus, as he just said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only answer for us. I know for me and my wife and a lot of people, he is the only way.
So true, Paul. Yeah, amen. That's right. He makes it very clear. He's not a way. He is the only way. Not one of the many choices, but the only choice, for sure. It's interesting because I think of a man that's well-known in Scripture, you know, King David, probably the greatest king that ever lived in Israel, and yet known as a man after God's own heart, and yet not a perfect man at all, a man that had created great sin. He had committed adultery, and he had actually wound up having the lady's husbands murdered, and so there was just a lot that happened there. And it's interesting, because when he was confronted by a prophet named Nathan, is when he actually confessed his sin, realizing that he was the one that had committed a great sin. And his sin was actually against God. It was against people as well, obviously, against this lady named Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. And yet, in that time, he wrote Psalm 51. And I just wanted to read a little piece of it here, where he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." What an incredible thing to consider, you know? Here, a great king in Israel, and he's confronted by somebody. He could have just had that man killed as well to kind of hide his sin. But being a man after God's heart, after an amount of time, he realized it and he was convicted by the Holy Spirit, and like every one of us, realized he had sinned. And he came to God asking for his mercy. And the way he addresses God, wow, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, it just shows how much he knew God. He understood the character of this living God who is just, who is righteous, and yet incredibly merciful. What a great Father we have, you know, that he would send his Son for us. You know, you mentioned that Christ being the only way, and it's real simple, right? We try to make this complicated and difficult, but the Bible makes it pretty clear and very simple. Jesus Christ is the only way. I look at Romans chapter 10, and it makes it pretty clear. It's a very simple step, right? Where in verse 9, he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's simple. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You know, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What an incredible thing to consider. Just simply asking Christ, you know, and he washes us clean, makes us whole. We have a good Father for sure who wants to set things right for us, who desires to. But it takes a humble heart. It takes us to realize, yeah, I fall short. And even for many of us that have maybe done this once in our life, you know, we've gone off astray, we've chosen our own way, we made our own path or our own decisions, maybe even intentionally knowing they were against God's will and yet not caring because we wanted something. But just like David, it's simply coming back, calling upon his incredible mercy and laying our life before him. And wow, what a great God that we have, that he would do that for us, you know, give us life and hope through his son, Jesus. I wanted to kind of, from there, just kind of mention, you know, walking in this life, you know, there's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of things that can make it difficult for us. Most of the time, it's our own things. You know, we get in our own way. We get in the way of the Lord doing things. And I just always like to go back to one of the epistles. Ephesians is always a great book to help us understand our walk with Christ for those who've given their life to him. And chapter 4 is a great place to start, depending on, you know, what situation you're in. But chapter 4 is always great, where he just says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Again, this is, you know, just an incredible thing to think when we're getting a little stressed out, you know, life's getting hard, we're under pressure, we're not sure what tomorrow is going to bring. We're trying to do things right, and it just seems everything's against us. You know, maybe you're kind of locked up in the home a bit with three or four little kids, or maybe, you know, a husband, wife, not seeing things the same way. Maybe a teenager in with their parents and having some disagreements. But here, the Apostle Paul considers himself a prisoner. a prisoner of the Lord. And again, there were many times when he was actually a physical prisoner, right? And he says, he just asking, begging us to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called, meaning listening to God, not to men, but to God and what he's calling us to do, and to do it with lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another. You know, this is quite a time for that, for sure, bearing with one another. You know, take that time and really step back again. Am I, you know, not in a great relationship with somebody because I'm being selfish, because I'm being proud, because I want it my way? Or, you know, am I willing to do it with lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another? You know, that's what brings peace, right? Keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's amazing how that changes our attitudes towards others when we have the right relationship with Christ and walk as he did in meekness and humility. So, Paul, anything you want to share just as we come towards the end of our time here?
You know, just very quickly, I know we're getting close to the end, Bob. I, you know, with this pandemic going on and everything, you know, and, you know, it's not only 9/11, it's the whole world that's being affected by this. And, you know, I've heard a lot of pastors over the last couple of weeks on the radio talking about end times. But in Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." To me, that means that Jesus doesn't even know when the hour is coming. And the times that we're in, it's all pointing to we're close. So I just, you know, recommend people, like a time out now, you know, there's no better time to come to know the living God.
Amen. Amen. That's so true. This is the time to do it. You know, he's trying to wake us up, I think, a bit. And yeah, you know, maybe putting a little stress on some of us to reevaluate, to just kind of, again, weigh things out. What matters? You know, again, we think of this pandemic and, you know, most people are not going to die from this, although there definitely have been quite a few that have, but most won't. And, you know, we go through things like this where we evaluate, again, our lives and what is it that they're all about? What really matters? What's the most important thing to us, you know? It's incredible to consider that our lives are but a vapor, really, when it comes down to it. Whether, you know, what do we live, 80, 90, 100 years maybe? And comparing that up, like you mentioned, eternity, that's a long time.
A long time, man.
Amen. Yep, for sure.
A lot of work.
Yeah, it is. I just want to look quickly, I guess, at the verse at the end here in 2 Corinthians 13, where Paul wraps up his writing to the people in Corinth, the believers, where he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." And he goes on to talk about a greeting and all that. But, you know, just truly understanding, finding comfort in him, peace in him. You know, he even refers to him, the God of love and peace will be with you. God is not an angry ogre sitting up in heaven waiting to crush somebody. If he wanted to, he could, you know, any moment. But that's not it. He's very long-suffering and patient with us. He desires that we align with his will and walk with him. It brings him such joy. I mean, it's amazing to consider, you know, the moment somebody gives their life to Christ, the angels in heaven rejoice. What an incredible, beautiful picture that is, from the deepest sinner to a saint. You know, we read about the saints and people think about the saints and who are they? They're simply believers in Christ, those who have given their life over to him, to walk with him daily. You know, and yeah, definitely this world is full of stress and different things for sure, letdowns and disappointments. But we've got a great God who has a great plan for each and every one of us. He tells us that he knows the plans he has for us, for plans for good, to prosper us, to grow us. So let's keep our eyes focused on him during this time, not let the world overwhelm us or become, you know, too stressful. So until we meet again, just keep your eyes focused. Keep looking up because Christ is coming soon. God bless you. Have a great night. Thank you.
Listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor Bob Greska. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from his word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.